Welcome to Extreme Dinking. This is the inaugural episode of our podcast here. I'm Raji, your host, and with me today is our special guest, meteorologist Drew Williams, all the way from Lubbock, Texas. Thanks for being here, Drew.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for, off the top, I just want to say thanks for getting this ball rolling, because you were honestly kind of the co-creator of this thing. Your idea and that chit-chat we had a few different times, you made it happen.
How many times did we stop in the break room and we were just like, we'd start talking about something and then we'd go, this could be the show.
This is the show.
This is the podcast.
Actually, I just did it yesterday about 10 times. I'm like, this is the show. Why is this not on the show?
Yeah.
This is the show.
Here we are.
It's a podcast about nothing, really.
Yeah.
Well, it's about things. We like to talk about beer, and you'll see coming up in this episode, we'll be chatting about beer a little bit. We'll be chatting about Seinfeld a little bit. We'll be chatting about a little bit about each other, miscellaneous, random, unlisted things. I think in Packer season, we'll be talking about some more Packer stuff maybe as time goes on.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Brewers and some, you know, depending on who
the guest.
And
the Milwaukee Bucks.
Womp, womp, womp. No, I want to love the Bucks.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I watch them once in a while, but do you really watch them? Do you watch any NBA, though?
Not really, no.
Have you ever watched the NBA?
I have. I watch the playoffs.
That's fair.
I always watch the playoffs and the finals. That's it.
And it's no surprise that we work together.
Yeah, we both work at the same station. A little bit about me. I'm from Texas originally. I was a news photographer for about 8 or 9 years, and then I did meteorology school. After I finished that, I ended up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is my first weather gig, and I also like the Packers. I enjoy beer and cheese, maybe not as much as Raji.
I don't know. I mean, that's debatable.
Yeah. When somebody's a beer, cheese/Packers fan, like, really?
Well, I got to say, do you remember?
Do we have to compare each other?
Do you remember when you were in interviewing, and I was just sitting on my desk? Do you remember when I first talked to you?
And I said something about the Packers, and then I said something about the Vikings.
You referred to them as the Minnesota Vikings, and then
you yelled out.
You said, "Are you a Packers fan?" Or maybe you said, "I'm a Packers fan."
Yeah, and then
I didn't even know who you were, and I jumped up and said, "Hire this man immediately."
That was fun. Yeah. As soon as I said Vikings, you were like, "Hire this man."
And from that point on, and I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Williams here from Texas. A fan. I would say you're probably a fan favorite in the area whenever you're out at local establishments.
Yeah.
Watering holes, perchance. Supermarkets.
Yeah. Menards.
Menards, and it's a great
place.
Can't
go to Menards,
Say what?
I'm joking. Like,
can't go to Menards.
Without, like, some old dude hassling me about the weather or whatever. Yeah.
So you were originally from Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
We hear that thrown around a bit.
Lubbocks.
Texas is not a stranger to having good beers down there, though. I mean, if people haven't been to Texas, I know for a fact. My brother lives down there. A lot of great beer down there. You
know
for a fact.
I thought he lived in Florida. Your brother?
No, Ronnie lives in Austin, Texas.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Darren was talking about Austin.
A lot of beer down there.
Yeah, Austin's crazy. Austin's awesome.
A lot of everything.
Yeah, Austin's cool. Shiner Box, my favorite Texas beer.
That is fantastic. Did you have their, was it a 107th anniversary ale?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I liked it more than I thought it was going to. I'm not a huge fan of, like,
IPA, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, the one they just
had. It's called a hoppy lager.
That's what it was. It kind of tasted IPA to me.
Right, but it wasn't as hoppy. I'm just done with IPAs. They're too hoppy. It's like, and that was good. I like a nice amount of hops, but not, like, overpowering.
I feel like once in a while I can get in the mood for one, but it just, overall, it just seems to be kind of ridiculous.
When they start to turn hazy, because they have so much hops in them, that's when it's, like, a little bit much.
When you take one sip and it's so bitter that you just, you kind of have to stop and take a sip of water.
Right.
I'm just wondering why you do this.
Everyone likes, what's the one by Bell's? It's Hop Slam.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's great, but it's like drinking hop juice.
You ever had that Dogfish one? The 190, or was it 90-minute IPA?
I haven't. I've always heard it's, like, the best beer ever. Like,
you have it, or you haven't?
No, I have not.
I haven't either.
I've always heard
that one is on the list to try, at least.
A few of the Dogfish Heads. Like, every now and then I'll buy, like, a single bottle. There's one called, like, Namaste or something.
Yeah.
I've had that.
Pretty good.
There's one that's, like, a strawberry wheat or something. I've had that.
Any good?
It was okay. I mean,
I like their Punkin is my favorite one. Yeah. Punkin Ale. I guess we're on the subject of beer, so we might as well talk about homebrewing beer.
I had that Lost Lake you gave me last night.
Oh,
it wasn't bad.
So to catch people up listening, because they don't know what we're talking about, Lost Lake. I went over to Woodman's and picked up a six pack of, I've never seen this beer before. Lost Lake Amber Lager, was it?
Yeah.
$2.99 for a six pack of cans. Thought it was interesting. Had one, thought it was okay. What is your opinion?
It was
$2.99? $2.99 a six pack.
Oh, I thought it was like, I think it said like $4.99 or something.
$3.
It's not bad at all.
For $3, yeah. What do you expect? But it's good.
It reminded me of, like I said, I had it and I tried it and then I had Kelly try it as well. I was like, it kind of reminded me if like PBR made like an amber.
That's kind of what I thought.
Like, it's not as good. I mean, it's not even as good as, like, Michelob, like, Amber Bock.
To me, it was like a poor man's Amber Bock. I really felt it was similar.
But it's like, yeah, I wouldn't pay more. Like I said, I thought it was like $4.99 a six-pack. I know you said it was cheap, and I thought you had said four. I would pay up to $4.99 for a six-pack of that, but pretty much no more.
Are you still in for the, what the heck is it? Point Brewery Bock?
I ran by their Gordy's yesterday. I had to pick up a couple of things. They still have a ton of them, so I got to work Monday. I'll buy one on Monday. Yeah, it's $17.99. I thought it was
for 24.
Yeah, for 24.
Not a bad deal.
It's not bad. It's still under 20. Even after tax, it'd be right at like $20. So that's less than a dollar a beer. Like,
$9 to $10 for a 12-pack of right. Bock. I love
Bock. I told Kelly about that. That you'd go has, and she's like, yeah. She goes, you don't want to commit to something. I'm like, it may be horrible. I mean, sure, it's still beer, well, but
we're speaking of committing to beer. You know, that's and I love. I think that, what's his name, Sam Calgeon, or how, I'm saying the last name wrong, the Dogfish guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Dogfish Head. I love what they're doing. I love what their motto. I love that they won't sell out to big companies. Yeah. I just can't find, it's tough for me to blow $13 to $15 on a four-pack of something right. I've never had.
Right.
And it's a four-pack. Right. You know, now if I know I'm going to like that style, like that pumpkin ale, I love that one.
But
if
think about going to a bar.
But that 90-minute, you know, like it could be good. It could. I mean, I just kind of want to try it, but.
Yeah.
For a price tag of what is it, 13 for a four pack or something like that? Yeah. It's like, my God.
$12.99.
I mean, I don't have a huge beer budget to blow. You know, I'm sure a lot of people don't.
What's the most you've ever spent on a single beer?
A single beer. Okay, now are we talking 12 ounces or like the bomber bottles?
Well, I'm saying like even at a bar, I've had the most expensive beers I've ever had are usually served in a snifter, so you only get like 8 ounces usually. Probably and that's because they're high in alcohol.
I'd say at a place that I've had one, probably like the $8 range maybe.
Yeah, $8 to $10.
But maybe. I'm pretty sure the few times that happened, I didn't know it was an $8 beer until after I saw the receipt.
I did. I mean,
I just feel like it's a bit high for a snifter.
We've talked about Clown Shoes Brewing.
Love that stuff. What was the one you got me on?
I think it was Chocolate Sombrero.
That one is fantastic. Yeah. If I see that again, I'd buy that
one. Well, I had one. I think it was called something Unicorn or something. And it was at, what's the place in the city? It's called the Gnome or something.
Oh, yeah. Is it not Happy Gnome? It's
something like that. The Happy Gnome.
Maybe it's just the Gnome.
It's got an adjective in front of it. Happy or gnome. Jolly.
What a jolly gnome.
Whatever, yeah. Anyways, I had like a $13, like, I didn't buy it, but it was like a Clown Shoes, and it was $13. And I think it was a snifter. Yeah, so that's the most expensive beer I've ever had.
I was going to say, you know, I had a discussion the other day with Tom about this. I don't feel like when you go to the store, I love to get a sour ale, they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
Good in small doses, but even something like that, or like, oh, another thing I love is if you got a sour that's aged in oak, those are fantastic. Imperial stout aged in some sort of oak barrel, fantastic. Yeah. But when their price tags are like $15 for one bomber beer, and a bomber is usually like 22 ounces.
Well, but if you think about it,
it's like, almost two beers.
It's like buying a bottle of wine, though.
Well, I get that, but like $15 for, you know, under two beers.
I've bought a bottle of wine for $20.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I'm just looking at getting a little bit more bang for my buck. It's tough to pass up when you got Liney's on the shelf, and they make a lot of good stuff. You know, I'm a Liney's whore pretty much, but
yeah.
I love their stuff. I mean, I'm going to pass up getting a 12-pack of Oktoberfest for like $11.99, and I'm going to spend $15 on basically a beer and three quarters. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right.
I don't know. I get it. I just think the craft beer scene is a little marked up. There's these niche areas that are just marked up.
I think the bubble's going to burst, honestly. Like,
you think we're going to get to the point where there's too many craft breweries and they're not really selling as much, and then the prices will probably go up a little bit because they're going to try to make back that money. And then they'll plummet because then there'll be too much stock and there'll be...
It's not going away, don't get me wrong.
No,
like,
yeah.
We're not going to suddenly go back to the days of all the only options you have are Budweiser.
We are, dude, we're really in a... We are in a golden age of beer.
Yeah.
Like, I've read that a little bit and I really believe it. I mean, the stuff that we have for options is ridiculous.
Well, and nothing against wine, but you basically have... You have two types of wine. You have red and you have white. And then there's, don't get me, and again, there, you can branch off from that. And, you know, it's when you're talking about like white wines, like your Cabernet is going to taste, Cabernet is white, isn't it? Then like a
Cabernet Sauvignon is like, that's,
right.
That's a dark, that's a red.
Is it? It's red. Anyways, like.
Well, you got your Pinot Grigios, your Chardonnays, your Rieslings. But
like a
your,
Moscato versus white, a, usually. Right, versus like a Zinfandel. Those are both whites. Those white are going to take completely, taste completely different.
Oh, absolutely. There's like a
but
dry to sweet
still
scale.
Still wine. Oh, versus beer, you've got ales, oh, then you've got lagers,
the
then
varieties.
You've got stouts, then you've got, you can just do so much more with beer than you can. So I think the fact that there's more options, you could start a brewery and all you make is wheat. And then you could change those so much.
Oh, yeah. There's a million type of wheats.
Right. Or you could be a brewery that has wheats and stouts and porters and lagers and IPAs. Like, it's crazy how many options. And I think all those options is what going to keep beer afloat or whatever.
I think it's just, I mean, places even like your local Gordy store, Festival Foods has added on a huge liquor area.
Yeah.
That Woodman's has a huge liquor area. I mean, in our local area, just the sheer size of a liquor section and the walls of beer.
Part of that's Wisconsin, though.
That didn't used to be there 10 years ago, though, and there's a lot of places that have big liquor stores like that, aren't there?
Part of that's in Wisconsin, though. Like, if you go down south...
The fact that it's in a grocery store?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, like, you've been to Austin. Austin has big, like... But if you just go to a random grocery store in Austin, Texas, like, they're not going to have even that big of a section.
Yeah, you're right. I guess, I mean, I spend some time in Florida, you know, with the folks down there, and we'd go to a liquor store, and they would have a lot of craft beer. It'd be like a Gordy's huge section, maybe more. But it's in a liquor store, and there's not as many as you would think, but there's definitely enough of them. But the grocery stores, like, down there, it's Publix, and it's...
Yeah.
Well, it's Walmart.
H-E-B.
Target, you know, same thing, but...
Right.
Those aren't huge sections at all.
No.
You're right.
Better than nothing, though.
But even the Target here, they have craft beer. I mean, they got decent craft beer there.
Yeah.
Even Walmart, crap, they carry stuff. It's crazy. I think you're right, though. I think the craft, it's we're in a golden age now, but I think at some point you're going to get oversaturated.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, and here's a good segue, talking about homebrewing beer. Like, about the time, was it shortly after you started, we started talking about this?
Yeah.
And I had just been doing it for, like, 6 months or a year. Yeah. You got into it. It's fun to do.
It's a lot of work,
but you know, when you start doing it, yeah, it is work. It's it's like working at your own miniature factory at your house, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
But it's time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
But
I break it down.
I started going onto it, and I was all. Here's my point. I was just gonna say, I started getting into it, thinking, man, is there a way that you could make this your job? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you start a little nano brewery, micro thing, blah blah blah. But the amount of money and the amount of tax, you know, hurdles getting tax IDs, and you can't do it from a residential space, and yada yada yada. And even so, even if you were to do it, look at how many craft breweries are popping up. Even still today, it's getting oversaturated.
Right.
So
should have gotten into this game like 10 years ago.
That would have been good, but even still, you need startup, you need money,
right.
You need this and that. I'm just saying, it's probably going to be less and less worth it to even have that idea. Not saying you shouldn't pursue that. If that's your dream, you should go pursue it, but...
Right. Well, and you and I both know from homebrewing, sanitation is huge. And imagine that on a much larger scale. I read an article once, and it was like, so you want to be a brewmaster or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you're going to spend 99% of your job cleaning.
Oh, my God. Like, I can imagine.
And not just cleaning, but like scrubbing, disinfecting, making sure nothing gets contaminated.
What about the air units? I mean, like just air cycling in the room, like filtration and things floating in when you open doors.
Right.
And,
like, so it was like, that's great. And then it said something to the effect of, like, why do you think monks did this, like, hundreds of years ago? Because they had time to kill, and they didn't have the stress of, like, other jobs or whatever, and they were very patient people. And
they probably didn't have a huge work order.
Cleanliness is
either.
Goodliness, you know, all that. You know, like, monks are good at keeping stuff clean and organized and whatnot, so that's why they were good at brewing. And it's, like, basically, like, that's great if you want to be a brewmaster, but realize... you're going to spend most of your time in rubber boots scrubbing stuff.
And it's true.
It's true, yeah. When you sit in, if anybody out there, if you've done homebrewing, you know right away there's a lot of cleaning. I mean, yeah. It's gotten kind of the point where I've started doing cleaning during the process. Have you done that?
Yeah.
During the process, you're rinsing out stuff, you're sanitizing, you're drying, you're... What do you do with your, like, siphon hoses? Those things never dry.
Yeah. I hang them upside down. Like, I open up my cabinets,
yep.
hang them upside yep. down like that, and they dry pretty well.
Like I've that. Put, like, binder clips on them and hung them on the wall before.
I even... But they just I don't take dry. Them just, like
whip them around?
On them, yeah.
What... I mean, that, is that the best possible way? I feel like there's got to be something else you can do. I just don't know what it is.
But it's just... Going back to, like, we were saying it was a whole bunch of work, I try to tell people I break it down into, like, three... You get your brew, you got a transfer, you got a bottle.
Yep.
And you got to allow around 2 hours per, I would say the transfer, not so much, an hour for the transfer, start to finish.
Well, you're doing, you're talking about secondary.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. So.
I don't
so
really do that.
Yeah, no, you don't.
I've done it on occasion, but I don't do it often. I did for the sour, which, by the way, is ready to bottle.
Really?
But I haven't gotten around to that yet.
I've got a coupon. Like I said, it's been... 6 months or better since I've done a home brew or whatever. I've got a coupon right now for 20 off from Northern Brewer. I should totally take advantage of
that. And when you do that, let me know so we can go in and on
the order. Because that's basically going to save your...
shipping, too.
Shipping, yeah.
They had a, they think they had a deal the other day, wasn't it? You got like an Irish Red kit or something like that if you spend $100.
I'm not sure.
Oh, we'll look into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's brew day. It's bottle day.
Yep.
And to me, the bottling, it's kind of interesting. The bottling... In the past year or so, I'd say it was really tedious for me. I wouldn't look forward to it. I'd get annoyed, like,
yeah.
oh, man, this is just kind of annoying. But you know what? The last time, I was actually doing some bottle washing a couple weeks ago, and it was it just when you put some music on and just don't treat it as, like, a job. Just remember that you're doing it for fun, and then suddenly everything changes. Yeah. It's kind of your perspective.
Right. Also, and it's good to be done at that point, and you know, sweet, I'm 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from having this beer that I've been working on.
Well, I just even did the washing separately. Like, one day I took an hour and a half, and I was just soaking, you know, or off and on, just soaking them, leaving them for 3 hours, rinsing them, washing them, drying them, and then I put them in boxes, so they're ready to go when my beer's ready. So, I mean, that's it's a lot of work, though. Kegging is really cool.
See, and I have a buddy, he lives in Illinois. He's big. He's an art professor down there, and he got really big into homebrewing around the same time as me. He's the one that kind of, you had been talking about it, him and I had always talked about it, and then he's the one that got me to pull the trigger, because he got the same kit I use for Christmas, and then, or maybe it was his birthday, and then, either way, and then they had the sale, and he texted me, and he's like, they have a sale going on. I think it was the President's Day sale, because I got the White House kit, you know, and it came with the White House. I could either pick an amber ale or a porter, and I picked the amber ale. And so, yeah, he just convinced me to pull the trigger, and he's big into it now. He is now doing kegging, and like he's like, it's so much easier. Like he took his bottle down, he got it filled at a local place that is has gases and stuff.
That's what I did, same thing.
Yeah,
I've only got the one keg, but oh, it's so nice to know that your beer's done, and all you gotta do is siphon it in.
Yep.
Put it under pressure, leave it for a few days, and go.
Yep.
I've got a pumpkin ale that's really actually pretty good.
So you?
I just had it last night.
You've gotten the keg going.
Oh yeah.
Really?
I went through. I made an Oktoberfest, which was pretty good. It was a little on the sweet side, so I think I had a little bit too much of that Munich malt or whatever I went with, like all Munich malt. It's just a little sweet for me, so maybe next time I'll dial it back. But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
On tap, and it went pretty quick because you know the few times I had people or relatives over, and hey, you want a pint? Hey, you want a refill? Yeah, whatever you want. Just boom, 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 and then
are you doing a couple months go by. Monday night?
I do anything Monday night?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why?
Kelly and I have to go to Thorpe to, like, see her folks, and I was going to say on the way back, can I stop by and see your setup?
It's not too late. Yeah, probably.
I mean, we're going to eat dinner with them, and then, I mean, at the latest, like, 8 o'clock.
See if it's not too late.
I haven't even seen your baby.
Yeah,
you probably should. I wasn't here the day that you, I hate to invite myself, run it by the wife, but Monday night, we'll be passing through Chippewa that evening.
I don't think we'll have anything going on. Give me a call.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as it's not too late. That's right. The only
I'm
complaint
off that
she
day, and then, like I said, her and I have to go to Thorpe. We're eating dinner with her folks. We'll talk. We'll talk about
it. You know what we should really do is we should talk about getting a sponsorship from Northern Brewer now that I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
Hey, Northern Brewer, if you're listening to this, maybe we'll send you a link to this later. It'd be cool if you sponsored us, wink, wink, and all you have to really do for me to put your logo all over everything and for us to talk you up is probably give us, like, you know, some sort of, like, swag or, like, a hoodie or something or gift certificate or some sort. And I'll sit and pimp you all the time because, you know what, I love Northern Brewer. I don't, I mean, really, that's all I order from.
Yeah. It's all I've ever ordered from.
I've always, and I've told people, I've referred countless people. I got your hops growing in my backyard. Yeah. So is Drew.
My buddy in Illinois, he's starting. I texted him the other day. He's like, dude, you should, I just got an email about hops. And he goes, already ordered them. I'm like, sweet. He's gonna grow his over like a trellis, like a thing that you can walk under and stuff.
I was thinking of doing something different. The string idea is like meh. I think I should build up something this year.
I
did the
string idea just because I rent, you know. Like if I ever own a home, then I'll build something that it grows over or whatever.
It had a pretty good yield this year, but my only complaint is I dried them properly in a food processor, you know.
Dehydrator.
Yeah, that's what, duh. Dehydrated them in that, and I had a pretty big Tupperware full of them.
Yeah.
But I threw them in. Did I do it wrong? I threw them in the boil.
I've done that.
And I didn't get really, I mean.
It's a 6-to-1 ratio we've talked about.
But I threw everything I had for the whole,
How many is in an ounce? Like, this yield I got.
It really didn't have any flavor.
This yield that I got this last time, I have 3 1-gallon bags. I don't have a dehydrator. I did go buy 2 cheap air filters, like you would put in your air conditioner.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this.
And I just sandwiched it between those two. And then put them. I took 2 chairs and then put it on the. And then just ran a fan across it for like 2 days.
Do you use all your hops or what'd you do with them?
They're just in my freezer right now.
Still frozen?
I've got 3 bags of them. I mean, I should probably use them. I harvested them in like August.
Did you vacuum pack them or just ziplock them?
I pushed them down and sealed it. I mean, like you said. But I've got 3 1-gallon freezer bags, 3 times the yield that I had last time.
Nice.
And did you give me some or like. Did Jerry Clark give me some?
I feel like Jerry brought some and you got some.
Yeah, I think I got some.
I used some of his in that batch. It was just.
But it's a 6-to-1 ratio, like I said. So if you're going to use 1 ounce of hops.
6 ounces of dry?
6 ounces of dry. And if you think about 6 ounces is a lot. Like
when they're dry, they're feather light.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. But his was interesting. His were vacuum sealed. I mean, he was kind of a test batch, but they're kind of moist still.
Yeah.
So he didn't do the drying process, which left a different flavor. But it also wasn't potent at all. It was just kind of disappointing. I thought it was going to be an IPA, but...
I ate one.
Again, we're talking about IPAs, which I don't really love, but I was going to do a milder one just because of the fact I had those hops, and it wasn't at all hoppy.
The next one I think I want to do, Kelly wants a wheat, but I think I want to do like a very hoppy wheat.
Doesn't New Glarus make one?
What would that... Is that...
It's like hop something, hop... I can't think of the name.
I'm not sure.
It's hop something, but I thought it was a wheat.
I don't know. They did one. One of their wheats is called Snapshot. But I think it's pretty much
New
just
Belgium.
New Glarus, sorry. I'm not sure. Hop is like got a bunny on it or something?
Yes.
It's called Hop.
Something.
And that's a hoppy wheat. That's what it's called.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Hoppy wheat.
I could probably look it up, but I'm lazy.
Yeah. Anyways. Beer.
What else were we going to try here down the road here? What did I have? I'm going to do a chocolate stout. I got ingredients for that.
Yeah. That's what I was going to do.
Cacao nibs. Cacao nibs. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
C-A-C-A-O? Cacao?
Maybe just cocoa nibs.
I think it was cacao or some ridiculous.
I don't know.
I think they're Peruvian or something, too.
I don't know. How about that?
Yeah. Anywho.
I know these 2 dudes from Peru. Ahmed and Habib. Like
sounds Peruvian.
They were cool. When I used to work as a projectionist in an IMAX theater, they were our 2 service guys. That would come.
Oh, you worked at an IMAX? Cool.
I thought you knew that.
No.
Yeah.
A lot I don't know about you.
5 years I worked at an I was a projectionist at an IMAX theater for 5 years.
Or in Lubbock?
In Lubbock, yeah.
I love IMAX.
Yeah. The only thing that kind of stuck about the one I worked at, we were also part of like a children's museum, so we only showed educational ones, which is great. I mean, they were still awesome, right. But all we showed was like... You know, like jungles of Africa or, you know, deserts of Africa or just, I don't know, they were nothing.
I did. What did I see? I saw Batman Begins for the first time in IMAX.
Yeah. I saw the second one.
It was freaking awesome. Like the scene where the bats flew out of the well or whatever when he's down in the well. That was amazing.
I saw the one with Heath Ledger in IMAX.
Oh, cool.
Little Rock got an IMAX theater
Batman,
a couple years after I moved there.
Why did I not even remember? Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight. I did not see the third one in theaters because I was creeped out because of the
show. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of creeped me out a little bit, and I was just like, I'll wait for it to come out on DVD. Bane.
He was great.
He was. He's weird and like, yeah. And it stayed pretty true to the comic book.
I love the 1989 one, honestly, before these came out.
Oh, yeah,
I thought Michael Keaton was great in it.
The second one was pretty good. It wasn't bad.
It was good, but just depressing and too long, in my opinion. But this, to me, blows them out of the water.
Yeah, the third one was
I love
bad.
This trilogy.
What do you think about the new Batman Superman?
I'm just confused as to why are we doing it, first of all, and second of all, why is Ben Affleck Batman?
It was a comic. I mean, it was in the comic.
There's a lot of dumb comics. They don't need to be movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I should reserve judgment until I watch it.
Right.
And I'm sure I'll watch it.
Well, and also, like, I'm sorry.
Why is Ben Affleck Batman? Why do we have to have a new Batman? We just had probably the greatest one of them all.
Right. But I also, like, I'd say this. How can Batman even stand up to Superman?
No. Superman is super everything.
Yeah. So, like, why even try, Batman?
That's a great segue. This is a great segue to Seinfeld.
This is a very Seinfeld conversation.
Seinfeld being, in my opinion, probably my favorite television show of all time. Do you agree?
Hands down, yeah.
Okay.
Simpsons is like a close second.
That's quality.
Yeah. Interest, and I love how it's still going.
Interest, you know, my God, it's like season 75, I think, or something. An interesting fact, Darren here doesn't like Seinfeld. I've never known somebody, well, I guess I shouldn't say that.
Alyssa tried, but she quit.
She didn't really try, though. I kind of forced her hand.
I've been forcing Kelly to watch
it. I brought her discs. I brought her my personal collection, the
DVDs.
Did
you know those are out of order?
What do you mean?
So I've got them all on DVD.
Yeah,
right?
Me too.
And Kelly and I just cut cable, and we were doing Hulu and Netflix only. We had Netflix, did not have Hulu, now we just do. Hulu's only $11.
Cord cutters.
Yeah, we are cord cutters. I can't watch sports now, but
that's what sucks. See, that's why I haven't done it. But anyways, not to derail your conversation here.
So we had started, though, watching, because we watched Friends. She's making me watch Friends. It's okay, I guess.
It's funny.
It's no Seinfeld.
Let's see. Lindsay's the same way. She has seen every Friends. Yeah. Well, she loves Seinfeld. Yeah. She's seen Seinfeld. But I have hardly seen any of the Friends. She's seen every single one of them. Anyway.
We're starting at the beginning, watching Friends start to finish. And we're watching Seinfeld start to finish. We watch like two episodes of each a night.
Is Friends on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're watching Seinfeld on disc, and I've got every single disc. I've got the box set that has every single disc, and we would just pop in a disc, watch a couple episodes, then watch some Friends the next night. We'd finish that disc, pop in the next disc. We were going in order. They're all completely in order. So then we switched to Hulu has every Seinfeld.
Yep.
And it's great because they're also in the 16x9 format.
That's cool.
So we just basically stopped watching the discs. Well, as we're watching like season 3, Kelly's like, wait, I've already seen that episode. Or then there was another one. She's like, I've already seen it. It's like, we watched them out of order.
So who's out of order?
So I just found this out last night. So that box set came with a book, and it has a one-page description of every single episode. It's got the name of the episode at the top, and then it's got the air date.
Yep.
And then all this stuff. The book is in order. The discs are out of order.
What?
I have no idea why, but like,
are you sure you didn't look at the wrong discs or pop them in wrong?
I researched. So like, there's an episode called The Stranded, and it's got Michael Chiklis. He was guest star in two different episodes.
What happens in this episode? I know the name.
Well, Michael Chiklis is, right? He played the Commish, and then he was on S.H.I.E.L.D., bald guy.
Kind of, yeah.
He also, on the Fantastic Four, he plays Thing on Fantastic Four. Anyways, he's bald. He's kind of a burly guy. Anyways, so he is engaged, and that's the Dingo Ate My Baby.
He's engaged
to her. They have that party. Jerry and Elaine,
they're stranded at the party in Long Island?
Yeah,
or?
And so when Kramer finally shows up to pick him up, he writes the guy a note, and he goes, here's my number, here's my address. If you're ever in Manhattan, I guess that's where Jerry lives or whatever, he's like, look me up, call me. He didn't expect the guy to actually call him. Well, he does, but it happens like 4 episodes later. But then, it happens like 10 episodes later. But on the disc, it happened like 4 episodes later. And he calls Jerry, and he's in town, and he's like, hey, show me a good time, and this and that. And he ends up getting a prostitute, and the prostitute comes to Jerry's house. And then, like, Elaine walks in, like, right as Jerry's paying the cops walk in, like, right as
Jerry's. Because she wouldn't leave.
Right.
She was unpaid.
So anyways, so if you look it up, I should have brought the book with me. I didn't know we were going to be talking about this. Anyways.
Well, who knows? This is the show.
This is the show.
We don't know. I don't even know what we're doing.
I don't either. We were going to talk about conspiracy theories. Anyway.
We still can.
So I looked it up in the book, and the discs are out of order. And the list, it came with a list of where they appear on the discs and the book. And the book is in order. Also, Hulu is in order.
Interesting.
But the discs are out of order. I don't know why.
I'm going to look that up. That's weird. And, yeah. And also, there's I know there is Wikipedia out there. I've looked up before to see the proper airing.
The Stranded is the one. For instance, like, Kelly and I just today watched The Subway.
Mm-hmm.
We watched The Red Dot, which is the Cashmere. And then the very next episode is The Subway. Then the next episode is called The Suicide. I don't remember that one exactly. But in the disc, it goes Red Dot, Suicide, Subway. The book and on Hulu, it goes Red Dot, Subway, Suicide. For some reason, those two are flip-flopped on the
disc. What would be the purpose of switching the order of the
era? I have no idea. I have no idea why they did that, but it is. The discs.
But the air date should coincide with the episode number.
You would think.
I mean, unless there's some weird thing of when they were filmed. I don't think they do that.
See, that's what
they film out of order a lot of times.
That's what I told Kelly. I think they film out of order. I don't know.
All right, if you're a Seinfeld fan out there and you know the answer to this question, you should definitely send us some tweets on Twitter. I am at the Maharaji. That's at T-H-E-M-A-H-A, Raji, my name, R-A-J-I. Or you can send one to Drew or both of us at?
At Weatherman Drew.
There you go.
W-E-A-T-H-E-R and then M-A-N-D-R-E.
We'd like to get to the bottom of this, so if you know what the hell is going on, that'd be pretty cool.
It's interesting.
Send us some tweets. Tell us what you think of this first podcast, because we don't know what we're doing. I don't.
They should.
You might think I know what I'm doing, but I don't.
They should hashtag something just so that we know that they saw this podcast. Hashtag first podcast.
Or hashtag extreme dinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Let's do that.
You should be a marketing guy.
I really, you know what? I do like marketing stuff. I probably wouldn't like it if it was my job.
Yeah.
Hashtag extreme dinking with an X. Dinking can be anything, but what is your definition of it?
It's like when, like, especially like our engineers, any TV station has engineers, and they're jerry-rigging something. Like, they're messing with, like, it's like...
Cobbling.
You call them up and you say, oh, my office chair is broken. And so then they flip it over, and they start looking at it, and they tighten
lubing up
a couple
of... They're lubing up the rod, and
they do a couple... That, to me, is dinking.
WD-40ing the wheels, and...
I wouldn't say just sitting and talking is dinking, like, to me. But this is a completely Wisconsin term.
It's something that really... I mean, I've heard the term over my life, but maybe my grandpa said it too, but over the last 5+ years around this, you know, probably even at the station here, it's like common phrase we use all the time.
Dinking.
My wife says it all the time now.
Quit dinking around down there. We gotta go.
I'll be in the office or I'll take out the recycling or something. And she, you done dinking around now? I'm like, hey, I'm taking the garbage out. I'm not dinking around.
So
or if it's said in a derogatory term, it's almost like, oh, you're messing around. Yeah. I was getting something done.
Right. See, down south, it's
dinking around.
It can mean stalling, not stalling, but just, see, what we would say down
Stop
south
dinking.
Is fiddle farting.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
Quit fiddle farting around.
We're at a yard sale, and this old lady, this guy, I think it was like an old couple, so the old lady was running it, and the old man came out and walked around, and he walked out to the end of the driveway, and she said, hey, so-and-so, quit fiddle farting around out there.
Yeah.
And we thought it was the funniest damn thing ever, because we never heard that.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
It's a southern thing, like everyone down south says it.
There's something that was malarkey. That's another one that I've heard.
Malarkey's like when something is unbelievable or... What would you say malarkey? I don't know.
Baloney. It's like a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, a bunch of
a
baloney.
A hot pile of malarkey. Here's another phrase we use. What was it? It was I can't think of it now.
That could be a whole...
Shenanigans is another one we like to use too.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not just a Wisconsin term, but pretty mainstream.
Shenanigans.
But referring to it as shenanigans.
Mockery. I'll say mockery a lot.
We do.
I think that's a lot up here, but next time we'll talk about conspiracies.
Next time on Extreme Dinking.
Chemtrails.
Next time on Extreme Dinking, we'll be talking about conspiracy theories. Well, at least next time Drew's on, which I don't know, he may or may not be on the next episode. We'll have to see what happens.
You gotta get Court Chukowski on here.
I would like to. I actually brought it up to him, and he said, nope, there's no way I'm doing it. Not happening. And I said, why not? And he just doesn't want any part of it.
He would be hilarious.
I think so, too. I think we should definitely,
offer to buy him some Culver's or something.
Again, please comment to us. Send us a tweet. My email is posted somewhere if you look. Let us know what you think of this show. Again, we've never done this. I've never done this. It was actually
congratulations, by the way, if you've made it this far. If you're still
if you've listened to this entire thing, you either have nothing going on, or you're just amused by two knuckleheads talking about nothing.
Yep.
I was going to call this the podcast about nothing, but I thought that was already taken, right?
I don't know.
You said it was. You looked it up, didn't you?
Did I?
I think you did.
Either way, like,
Drew doesn't even know what he's doing here.
Either way, that's too close to scientific. Extreme dinking, I guarantee you that wasn't taken.
That's why I looked for it, and that's why I went with it.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my esteemed guest, Mr. Drew Williams. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks.
Thanks for the idea. You're kind of the co-creator. You're kind of the Larry David to the Jerry Seinfeld in this one. So thank you very much for the idea, and we'll see where this goes. Until next time, keep dinking. Or do you have a better tagline?
No, I was going to just let you end it like that. Keep dinking.
So this is the story of the time I met Zach Galifianakis.
Right.
I was living in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was doing a show that night at a comedy club. Not really a comedy club, just a club. Pretty small venue. And so he did his little stand-up routine. You know, they even had a piano. You know, he plays the piano and stuff. If you've ever seen his, like, comedy special.
Yep.
So
yep.
Then, like, I had an aisle seat, and he came. And this place that we were at was notorious for they would serve – like 40s and like PBR, like the big 24 ounce PBRs and stuff. Anyways,
sounds funny.
Yeah, so I had a big PBR and he comes down the aisle and he comes up to me and then he like gestures, hey, let me see that PBR. Didn't say anything and I'm just like, okay, so I hand it to him and he takes it and he takes a big drink of it and then he hands it back to me and then he gestures like, you should take a drink as well. So I drank it and as I'm sipping it, he goes, it's nice and cold, isn't it? And I kind of nodded and he kept like kind of holding it, so I still had to keep drinking. He goes, yeah, it felt real good against my cold sores.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
that is awesome.
So then at the end of the show, like we were hanging out and he was signing stuff. Like a buddy of mine got him to sign a napkin and he didn't sign his name. He wrote, vote Dukakis 88. and like it did not have Zach Galifianakis anywhere.
Anyway, dude is hilarious.
Then we took a picture with him and he said, let's do something funny. I can't remember what he said, but he had, let's all expose a nipple. And so like we all pulled down our shirt and we all had a nipple out. Like me.
Was there a picture?
Guy. Yeah, it's on the internet somewhere.
That is fantastic.
I'll find it. I can show it to you.
That could be in the show.
This could be the show.
This might be in the show.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's a pretty good story. I've never heard that one.
It's a funny story. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis, pretty funny dude. He was in Little Rock.
So did you get anything signed or no?
No, I didn't get anything. But like I said, the picture's pretty funny. Like I can find it somewhere. I've got it.
That might have to be posted separately or you know, alongside this.
Yeah. But he's a friend of mine. His name's Tyler. He's now a reporter in Phoenix.
Cool.
He's been in Phoenix for a number of years. I think he works for like Channel 3, and I don't know what affiliate it is. But
I am jealous of that interaction because he's hilarious. He's love to have had that
and
interaction with him.
He wasn't huge yet. He had been in the movie, what's that snowboarding movie? Out Cold.
I've never seen it.
It's not very good. He had been in that. That was way before like the Hangover movies and stuff. That's what really kind of made him famous.
You ever seen Imagineers or Imagineering? What was it called? Imagineers?
I don't think so.
It's very weird. I feel like it was on Netflix. You have to look it up, but it's just bizarre, but it's funny.
He's got a new...
You should watch that one.
He's got a new show coming on FX. I can't remember what it's called, but he's like dating a French woman or something?
Baskets.
Yeah, Baskets.
I've watched
the
first episode.
Really? Is it funny? Like,
I think it's funny. It's again, if you love him, you'll probably love the show.
Yeah.
It's a bit. It's like it's an. Is it an IFC show?
I thought it was on FX.
Oh yeah, FX.
No.
Sorry.
AMC.
I don't know. I feel like it felt like an IFC type show. Like you watch Portlandia.
Because Kelly and I, I've seen a couple episodes.
It's kind of like that, but it's Zach Galifianakis' humor.
Right.
It's a bit. It's definitely left field, but it's not like ridiculously left field where you can follow it. But unless you're a fan of that style. And you being a fan, you probably would like it.
He's just a weird dude. He showed up on a red carpet, like, for some, you know, Oscars or Golden Globes. It was about a year ago. And he had kind of been out of the, like, you know, limelight for a while. And he had lost a ton of weight.
Yes.
And this reporter runs up to him. She's like, oh, my God, Zach Galifianakis, you look amazing. You've lost so much weight. How did you do it or whatever? And then he just, like, stone cold looked at her and he goes, I'm dying.
And she just goes, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry." He's like, "No, I'm kidding."
Is that a live funny. TV?
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. It was on, like, yeah, and he said, "I'm dying," and like she immediately like felt so bad, and like it was funny, and it was.
He's smart to be able to come up with that, like on the off the cuff like that immediately.
Yeah, it was funny.